Thanks, Gail. Lovely to be with you all, you lovely, precious sisters. Already we feel, even though we don't know one another, there's that bond, that unity that we all have, which is fantastic. And I must admit, I was going to do a game, that's why I bought all the beads, but I just sense the spirit with us so much that I just think I'm going to sort of move into the preach, because I think that I just sense that the spirit wants to come and minister to us tonight, and we want to give him top priority, don't we? And you'll have to get me along again to do the B game. So hold that thought. But so thank you very much, Gail, for inviting me, and thank you, Nisa, for that wonderful worship that we had. So I'm Leslie Lawrence, and some of you know me already. I live over in Penarth with my husband, Andrew, and three children, Samuel, who's 17, and Jamie, who's 14, and Daisy, who's 12. And I'm a Canton girl. That's where I was born and bred, having moved over to Teddington for 15 years, and the Lord has called us back about 4 years ago. And I'm in the Baptist College training for Christian ministry. So I've done 3 years already, and I've got one more year to go, God willing. So, funnily enough, as I was over there, really enjoying the spirit, enjoying the worship, and just feeling well, you know, I've almost had what I need, time to go home, because, you know, I just sensed such a soaking of the spirit when Nessa was playing. But I saw a keyring over there with the word more on it, and I just thought, you know what, God has got more for us, and I want to open up his word tonight, and let's see what he says to each and every one of us. Let's have our spiritual eyes open and our spiritual ears open, so to speak, so that we can receive what God's got for us tonight. Because one of those songs that we heard earlier about hindrances, you know, we kick those hindrances away, and there's plenty of things that we want to you know, just put aside tonight, you know, thoughts put aside, and just lay everything down tonight. Just have a bit of me time, so to speak. This is your time to receive what God has got for each and every one of you. So let's do the Bible reading, which I don't know whether, put your hands up if you've got your Bible tonight. Ooh, a few keen ones, that's great. Well, it's Luke 8, verse 40 to 48. I'm going to be reading from the NIV UK version. So Luke 8, verses 40 to 48. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. And then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she couldn't go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she touched him, and how she'd been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Amen. Scripture shows that a genuine encounter with Jesus left people radically transformed, healed, restored, and commissioned. And it's no different today. If we come to Jesus, he's able to touch our lives in a way that nobody else can or nothing else can. I'm sure we'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? Now, tonight our focus is going to be on the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' cloak. And there's a running theme in Luke's Gospel where I've taken this passage from. And it's the running theme is about Jesus' compassion for Gentiles, Samaritans, children, tax collectors, sinners, and others who were often regarded as outcasts in Israel. More than any other gospel, Luke's Jesus engages with people who live on the margins. And the high profile that Luke accords to women is particularly significant. Now, the healing of the woman who'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years is sandwiched between two halves of this other miracle, the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus, a ruler of a synagogue. Both accounts demonstrate Jesus' authority over disease and death, and they illustrate the power of faith. But tonight, we're going to only focus on the healing of the woman, which begins in verse 43 and ends in verse 48. So where did this incident happen? It says earlier in Luke 8:26 that Jesus is with his disciples and he's returning from the region of Gerasenes across the Lake of Galilee. So who is this woman? We don't know her name or where she comes from. She's nameless. But we do know that she's suffering. Verse 43 says she's been suffering with this constant bleeding for 12 years, perhaps a menstrual disorder. And the tragedy was both physical and spiritual, because this bleeding rendered the woman ceremonially unclean, and therefore she was excluded from participating in community worship. Now, according to purity laws in the Old Testament, a person with an issue of blood is to remain quarantined. It says in Leviticus 15:25, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time, other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has that discharge. So this was really serious. This would have meant this woman was shunned by everyone, including her family. Everybody would have excluded her. She couldn't go in the temple or the synagogue. Now, Jewish religion and culture places significant importance to menstruation, and nidah is the word used to denote the menstruating woman and her period of uncleanliness. Now, a few weeks ago, I went on a visit to the Cardiff Synagogue in King Coyd. Has anybody ever been there? Have you been there? Well, we went around the synagogue, and it was really interesting. And then afterwards, we went in this, so we were taken outside the synagogue into this this little building, which was for the ladies when they're on their period. And it was fascinating. There was all sorts of sponges on sticks and all kinds of pampering tools. There was a big hose pipe. There were steps down to what looked like a baptistry, you know. And to be honest, ladies, it wasn't very nice. It was really horrible. I thought, oh my gosh, Jewish ladies even today have got to cope with all of this. It wasn't very nice. So I'm just glad that we haven't got to cope with that, aren't you? Now, this woman had attempted to try and sort out a problem herself by paying for doctors to try and heal her. But in verse 43, it says nobody could heal her. In Mark's version of the account, he says in chapter 5, verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she spent all she had. But instead of getting better, she was getting worse. So during this poor woman's ordeal, she'd been drained of her energy, and she'd been drained of her money. Her search for a cure from a physician had solved nothing. In fact, as I say, she was getting worse. Have you ever felt desperate for a physical touch from Jesus? Perhaps even now you're facing an issue with your health, and you're just not sure how you're going to get through it. Perhaps your way of dealing with it is to bury your head in the sand, hoping it will go away. I must admit, funnily enough, I've forgotten your name. I'm so sorry. Victoria came up to me and she said, have you lost some weight? And she was looking up and down, I think. And I'd completely forgotten that. So since I've been here last year, I had a condition that, you know, you go along your merry way, and when your health's good, you take it for granted, don't you? But I must admit, what happens at Christmas, I mean, you're right, Victoria, I have lost a lot of weight, and I'm absolutely fine now, but what happened was, at Christmas, I went to the Albany Road Christmas luncheon with the elderly, and it was wonderful. It was a four-course meal, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I was taken into the meal, and there was all the trimmings, and it was really lovely. But afterwards, I had the most horrendous stomach ache, and it wouldn't go away. It was just really, really painful. And this lasted for days and days and days. And all the time, I was just heaving. I realized it wasn't a stomach bug, something more was going on. And so I was nauseous all the time. I was heaving all the time. I could only eat tiny bits of crackers and water, and even that wouldn't stay down. It was just really awful. I went to A&E in the end to try and, because I was in such pain, I didn't know what to do. And my sister, who's a nurse, said, "This is ridiculous. There's something wrong here." Anyway, cut a long story short, after various tests, it showed I got gallstones. Now, I don't know whether anybody else has got that problem, and I'm waiting for an operation to have my gallbladder out, and the reason why I've lost weight is I'm on a low-fat diet, which I'm fine now on a low-fat diet. But, when I was in a lot of pain and nobody really knew what it was really awful. I've never actually been, in that situation before, and it was really scary. It was really awful. And I was just really desperate for a touch from the Lord. And I just kept listening to this worship song over and over about being able to dance again. You ever heard of that? That song. And just really praying that the Lord would touch my life and heal and restore me. But, here is this woman in this terrible situation, which, some of us might be able to relate to in one form or another. She's so distressed and she's feeling absolutely hopeless. She's dealing with bloodied bandages every day. She's dealing with the shame of the condition, the psychological pain of being an outcast, the prolonged nature of this condition, and the money used for these expensive treatments. This woman is desperate. And she's come to the end of herself and her ability to deal with it. But here comes Jesus, the one she's heard all about, the great healer. But she is unclean. Should she risk going near him to receive a touch? What about the crowd all around him? I wonder what was going through her mind. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been pushing through a crowd to get to see somebody? Who went last week? Anybody here go to Cardiff to see the football crowd coming back? Well, I must admit, I did for the sake of my son, who was really into football. And we went to the castle at 4 o'clock, because that's when I don't, where were you? Did you? Yeah, well, it was absolutely packed. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And outside the castle, I'm vertically challenged, but I had all the tallest people in front of me. And, the crowd, it was all about 4:30, the crowd's on, yay, and we knew they must have come out. We saw the top of the castle gate open, but we didn't see any of them. And I was going like this, I've got loads of pictures of the back of a bald-headed man, But and I was, because my son is even smaller than I am, I was sort of lifting him up, and I was really frustrated, I must admit. And, some people went home, but I just thought, no, I've come to see, just come and see them. And I'm determined I'm going to see these players for the sake of my son. So luckily we ran around, we went through the go-late, the go-late that comes round at the back of the, into St. Mary Street. And thankfully we were able to stand on a little sort of wall by the building, and by this time the players were all in the bus, in the open top bus. We were able to see them, and it was wonderful. It was really lovely to see them. And I don't know about you, but whether you've been in a situation where you really want to see somebody and you can't get close to them, but you just got that determination and perseverance to go and do it. And this is what this woman had. Let me just go and get a drink of water. So I've got to keep holding this because tonight I didn't put a cardigan on with somewhere to put this into, unfortunately. So this woman comes up to Jesus. And in chapter 8, verse 44, it says, she came up behind Jesus and she touched the edge of his cloak. And the New Living Translation says she touched the fringe of his robe. Perhaps this refers to the tassels the pious Jews wore on the edge of their robes. The tassels were sewn on the corners of a garment, so as somebody walked along, as the tassels swirled about on the edge of the garment, they served as an excellent reminder to obey God's commands. And what happens when she touched Jesus' cloak? Verse 44 tells us, immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately her bleeding stopped. Verse 47, she had been instantly healed. Instantly. She was a determined woman who had faith. She didn't speak to Jesus to ask for his help, but she displays courage and desperation by risking the consequences of breaking a sacred rule by coming into contact with people, because she believes that somehow she is going to be healed just by touching Jesus' clothes. How did Jesus respond? Verse 45. Who touched me? Says Jesus. He felt the power had gone out of him. He recognized the touch of a needy person. One of Jesus' disciples said, but the people, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing all around you. They couldn't work out why this was, that Jesus why he felt, obviously Jesus felt that the touch of that woman, that particular touch, but they couldn't quite work out what was going on. I mean, the crowds they almost crushed him, it says in verse 42, so it's understandable why Peter would have said that. The woman knew that she could no longer go unnoticed, and she fell at Jesus' feet trembling. For her good and for the benefit of those in the crowd, Jesus insists the miracle be made known. He wanted her to make herself known, but he also wanted to identify himself as her healer. Verse 48, Jesus says, daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. I like the New King James Version. Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Or some of you might like the Message Version. Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed. I love the way Jesus speaks so tenderly to this lady. We don't know her name, but Jesus obviously knows this lady. He knows all about her, and he knows, I'm sure, the awfulness of what she's been going through with that condition. She is a precious child of God. Although her faith is imperfect, it is genuine and accepted by God. So as soon as she touches the hem of Jesus' cloak, her blood dries up and her body is healed. Jesus says in verse 48, go in peace. So the Hebrew shalom, meaning spiritual wholeness, go with your spiritual wholeness. And Jesus is instructing her to be thankful for the healing she's had in her body. I'm sure in her mind, her emotions, everything, that real whole transformation that she's had from Jesus. If you had one word to describe this and this story, what do you think, if you just had one word, how would you describe it? Is this a story of faith for you? A story of hope? Of love, courage, story of power or of healing, or perhaps you have your own thoughts, or maybe there's a combination of several of those. Because how have you come tonight? How have you come tonight? Because the very same Jesus offering this woman a transformed body, a transformed life, a transformed and renewed body, and having that spiritual wholeness, it's the same Jesus that offers that tonight. Do you need a touch from the Lord tonight? perhaps you've been feeling unwell. Perhaps you've come to the end of yourself. Perhaps you're dealing with something and you haven't even told anybody about it. And you need the Lord to physically heal you. Perhaps you're feeling disappointed because for a long time you've been praying about something. You haven't had that transformation yet. You haven't had that breakthrough that you've been hoping for. Perhaps through your human effort, you've been trying to sort it out, as this woman did when she was paying for all these doctors. Perhaps you're getting more and more desperate for the Lord to step in and help you. And of course, it's not just for a physical touch. The Lord is here for any need that you have. He's called us all tonight to come to this place, hasn't he? There's lots of things we could have been doing, but we've come here tonight. And the Lord is here by his Spirit tonight, absolutely available and willing to provide that touch. You know, greatest blessings come out of our greatest desperation, oftentimes. So whatever your circumstances, the Lord is here. He loves you. He wants you to reach out to him so that you'll never be the same again. He wants to give some of you a new hope and direction and a future. Remember those words in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What I've brought tonight is a piece of cloth here, and in a moment we're going to have some worship music. I'm going to push this aside and I'm going to bring this out as a makeshift cloak, if you will. What I think would be really good to do is have a time where we listen to the worship and we're reflecting on what God might be saying to us. And the invitation is, I mean, you can sit quietly and just have time with the Lord as you sit quietly. But if you feel you want to symbolically come and touch the material tonight, then the invitation is there to do so. And it's not just for physical touch. It may be coming to touch the cloak, to just say, Lord, that thing you've been asking me to do, as I touch the cloth, I'm saying, yes, Lord, you've been asking me to do that. I've been putting it off, but I'm going to do that now, Lord. Or it could be just touching it to just acknowledge that you're trusting the Lord again for what you need. You know, the Lord is here tonight, and I think for each of us, there's that opportunity to just reflect and bring before him tonight, lay our burdens down and have that touch and that, that real touch from the Lord tonight. So let's just rest in him, and if Nisa could have some worship music, I will put the